All right, good morning, everybody. As usual, I'm excited to be up here and ministering to you guys today. So, last two times I've spoken, I've been speaking on vision. And I'm going to continue with vision, but it's a continual process, right? We don't just get vision. We're not just given vision. We all have a vision for us, specific to us, I believe, but there's a little bit of a process because I wasn't in early on in my life or my young adult life. I wasn't in a state or in a place where vision would have helped me because I wanted nothing to do with God. I was living my own life and doing my own thing, and I didn't need him. And my life reflected it because my life was difficult at the time. But, so I'm going to continue. The last time I spoke, it was trusting God, and we're going to continue with trusting God because knowing who God is and being able to trust him at his word is of the utmost importance because he is spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth, so we don't have this physical. Here, I'm just going to give you this kind of relationship. We have to develop this spiritual relationship or spiritual health, I'll call it. And so the first week I spoke, we started with Habakkuk 2:2, and that was write the vision and make it plain. Right? Write that vision. When God is speaking to you, I don't care how minute you think it is, write it down. Because what God speaks is important. No matter how trivial I can make it, it was spoken from God, and it has a purpose, and it's for you. Grab hold of it and run with it. No matter if it's, hey, you should maybe help clean the church every now and again. Oh, God, I don't want to clean the church. I'm meant for so much more. Right? Because when God started to speak to me about getting more involved, like that was my opinion of myself. Well, I can clean toilets. Never did this kind of stuff come into mind. It was, you know what, I'm good at doing things and cleaning and being told what to do, so hey, use me. Right? But God had a much bigger plan that I could see for myself. God had a much bigger vision for me than I could see, and that's why I needed to get out of the way. So, the last time I spoke, I made a statement. Vision is revealed when we trust God. Vision is revealed when we trust what he is saying. Because how can he give us more if I'm not going to do anything with it? You know, I mean, how can he entrust me with more when I'm ignoring what he told me to do in the first place? It's a relationship. I'm always going to come back to this relationship. Vision is realized in relationship because as I grow in him, as our relationship grows, I become more trustworthy. He's not becoming more of anything because he is everything. I'm growing, and he's helping me grow. And you can apply that to any of your lives. He will help you get there if you let him. But we have to get out of our way. So we're going to continue with trust, and I want to continue developing who God is. Who is God? Who is this God we serve? So turn to Isaiah 55. Now, this chapter, someday I'm going to get through it all, but I got through three verses. But just more for next time. But, so this is prophesying about Christ, about a Savior coming, about Gentiles turning to him. But in this, as new covenant believers, we can take what's being spoken here and apply it to our lives. It's the wonderful thing about the Old Testament. There's so many things within it that we as New Covenant, New Testament believers can apply. We can see who God is throughout the New Testament. We can see his mercy. We can see his grace if we're looking for it. So we're going to start with verse 1 and 2. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. A lot there, and that's why I didn't get through this whole, I was hoping to get through this whole chapter, but once you start going, it's just, man, just consumes me, and all these other verses start popping up, and you know me, I like verses. So, the first statement there, everyone who thirsts, I looked up thirst in the Strong's, and it means thirst. Really easy one. Nothing real fancy there, it just means thirst. It means you need something. If you're thirsty, you need something, correct? When you're thirsty, you have great need for one thing. Water. And that water is life. That water is life physically and spiritually. Because we see in the scriptures, Jesus talks about water in many different instances throughout the New Testament. Water is displayed in the Old Testament as life, life-bringing water. In John 7, 37 through 39, it says, John 7, 37 through 39, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So he is the source. He is the source. He who believes in me. So there's a process. We got to come. There's an action that needs to be taken. I need to go to him, and I need to believe. I need to believe. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. So the Holy Spirit, it cannot be overstated how important our relationship with the Holy Spirit truly is. Because, as I've said before, the Holy Spirit in us is the direct line to the Father. That direct line. Jesus said in John 16, I think it's verse 15, "Behold, I have been given all things, and I give it to the Spirit." That Spirit lives in us. We can rely on the Spirit. We can rely on what the Spirit is telling us. His Spirit, the Spirit inside of us, is our provision. These verses are talking about provision, right? He is our provider. The Holy Spirit is our provision for this life. Because of that direct line. When I have questions, when I'm seeking, he's my comforter. He will lead and he will guide. He's my teacher. We have all of this residing in us if we choose. If we choose. We need to choose, just like salvation, we need to choose the Holy Spirit. We need to choose that power. We need to choose that for our life. But when we do, that is provision. He is provision. Are we focusing on his provision, or how are we going to provide? Because I can get really wrapped up into how am I going to provide? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that when I have a provider? Right? We have a provider. The Holy Spirit is provision. And I like the definition. Let me find it here quick. Provision. I don't want an ad. Provision. The act or process of providing. Simple. The fact or state of being prepared beforehand. I really like that one. Because what's the Holy Spirit do? He can show us things to come. Right? The Holy Spirit can show us things to come, good or bad. How nice is it to be prepared for a fight that's coming up? Because in this life, we have fights. We have battles. And how nice is it to know that the Spirit inside of me will provide a battle plan if I'm listening, if I'm seeking. This is available to us, but do we believe it? Do we trust God at His word? Do I trust God at His word? When He gave me those words over my life of what I will be doing and can be doing, do I trust? Why do we seek those things that cannot and will not satisfy? And yeah, I can attest to that. How much time and money have I spent on things where I said to myself, you know, if I just get one more, that's all I need. That's all I need is one more. Because once I get the one more, then I'm good. I'm good. And I'll spend the money on the one more. You don't need to know what my one more is. We can talk about it afterwards. But man, if I could just have one more. I mean, it's not just for me, because other people can use my one more too, so it's not totally selfish. You know, like I can share my one more. I just need to get the one more. Oh, how much money do I need for the one more? You know, if I sold this, I could get close to enough money for the one more, and then how about I put the rest on the credit card and I'll pay it off at some point. But I got the one more, but I'm driving myself into debt over the one more, but it's okay. It's the only one I need. It's the last one I need. It's the last one, and then I get it, and oh man, does it satisfy. Oh, that's good. And then I put it in my safe. I close the door. I walk away. I get an email. Oh man, look at that one. Okay, maybe I just need one more. You know, and we could go down this horrible, horrible cycle, and I've gone down it, and I fight going down it. I fight going down it because I've wasted a lot of money. I've wasted a lot of time because, man, I can research with the best of them. When I really want something, watch out. Like, I am going to research the heck out of it. And I am going to know what I'm getting. I'm going to know the good reviews. I'm going to know the bad reviews. I'm going to know which site is the cheapest, but which site has the best customer service as well, because I just don't want the cheapest, because if it comes to me broken, I want the good customer service for if I have to return it. Like, let's do some research. I mean, that gets me all fired up. But, so I'll spend hours researching something that will never satisfy. Hours researching something that will never satisfy. And I've totally ignored the only one who can. And I know better. And I'm trying. I'm still growing. I've left, but I haven't arrived, but I'm still growing. But I'm fooling myself. And any one of us are fooling ourselves if we think that anything of the flesh will satisfy. I can understand the world because the world doesn't know any better. That's what they have is things. That's what drives their lives. But as believers, I am a believer, I should know better. I should stop filling my garage with stuff that never will get used, The truck doesn't count because it's going to get used. But yeah, I mean, we've been paying on a storage shed for lots of years. And I know we're not the only ones, so I don't feel bad about this, because everywhere I go, I see rows and rows and rows of storage. Yep, and they keep going up. Keep going up. So I mean, it's terrible, but I don't feel bad about it. I do feel bad that of the money we've wasted, because this stuff has been sitting in there for years and I don't even know what's in there. You could throw a match in there and I wouldn't care. You would save me X amount of money a month. I know, so why? Because it's time to get rid of it. I don't have any space in my house for anything that's in there, because my house is already full of stuff. Full of stuff that I've obsessed over. I need this. Gotta have it. Sorry. I apologize. Trust me, it hurts me as well. But I have to say it. But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't need the stuff. I need to grow spiritually. Because spiritual growth is what truly gets me through this life. Spiritual growth is how I achieve victory in this life. Because when I was depressed and down in a hole, I didn't need any more stuff. The stuff never brought me out of that hole. The stuff never cured my depression. The stuff never cured my anxiety. But spiritual health did. Spiritual health brought me to a place where I could hear the Holy Spirit. I could hear God speaking to me and I could respond to it. It's never about, and it's not that stuff is bad, and we'll get there. It's what's its control on your life. It's no different than money. What's money to you? Money to me has evolved in my life. I hated money because of what it did to my family. I hated it. So I was just gonna just get by. As long as I got enough for me, I'm fine. But that's not biblical. That's not what the word talks about. And so as I've grown spiritually, my view of money has grown, has matured. I understand things more now. And apply that to any part of your life. Just happen to fall on money. But the verse before that says, verse 32 in Matthew 6, it says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So they were talking about clothing. What am I going to drink? What am I going to eat? Fretting over all these things that he has provided. He's provided it for us. So why am I obsessing over things and spending all of my time obsessing over things that, for one, I don't need, and for two, are already provided? Because if we take the Lord at his word, and I say, you know what? You've provided that for me. How much more time do I have to focus on what I'm supposed to be doing? All this stuff is distraction. And like I said, it depends on how you can manage it. Credit cards. There's lots of people that can manage credit cards and get amazing benefits from these credit cards. I hate credit cards. Because we didn't manage them well. Right? Some people can, some people shouldn't. You still can. I can't stop you, but I know I shouldn't. Thank God for that revelation. Right? we need to stop going down this road because there's something so much bigger and something so much greater for us in this life, not just the life to come, but in this life when we can focus on his task at hand, not my task. His task at hand, because what he has for us, the vision he has for each and every one of us, far outweighs the stuff. What's the word I'm looking for? It satisfies. Walking in relationship with Jesus Christ, walking in relationship with the Holy Spirit, satisfies. When I'm preparing for a sermon, I'm never not satisfied. But yet, I'll go X amount of days without thinking about it. I gotta be honest. I'm working on that too. But I'm never not satisfied when I do this. It's the flesh that gets in the way. Well, I'd rather watch some hockey. It's almost the playoffs, you know. The Wild are really good this year and fun to watch. It's been a long time since that happened. Long time. But, and I'm not saying hockey's bad. I'm not saying going to a game or watching a game is bad. But for me, how much of my life is it consuming? And right now it's consuming too much. I'll be honest. These stinking phones. Man, I can just watch every game I want now because I found this sweet site. You know, it's just, you know, my example. I'm sure we can all stand up and recite our examples. But what is my intent in seeking? Am I seeking him or am I just seeking what I need? Because when I seek him, my needs are provided. When I seek him, I don't have to worry about my basic needs because they are provided. Because when you boil it all down, when you strip it all away, how much do you really need? Not much. We need clothes. Got to have some shelter up here because we got all four seasons. Food, water. I don't know anybody here who doesn't have transportation. And if you don't, somebody who won't help you with it. What do we really need? What is our priority in this life? We look far too much like the world when we just are into accumulating things. And I'm speaking to myself. I got some pretty cool collections. I don't mind sharing them every now and again. Because, man, look at what I got. Look at what I got. But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It's balance. It's intent. So in verse 2, we're back to Isaiah now. So why do we spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Think of how much money I would have if I stopped wasting it. Man. Really simple concepts, but when the moment's there, it's on sale. There's never going to be a sale like this one again. Ever. Ever. I promise you, there won't be a sale like this ever again, so I need to get it now. Thank you. The promo code. Yes, I'm going to get 20% off as well. So why not? I'm just going to throw myself into a little bit of debt. No big deal. I'm good for it. Maybe. But you see where I'm going with this, right? It's vicious. Vicious little circle, isn't it? Stop it. I'm speaking to myself as well. Stop it. Stop it. Focus on what this life is meant for. His will, His purpose, His plan, His vision for our lives. Because it's going to be the best thing you experience in this life. His plan, His purpose, His will, His vision is the best thing you will experience in this life. Nothing will compare. Nothing will satisfy more, and it comes with spiritual health. It comes with spiritual relationship. That's where we find it. I can attest, I've never found it anywhere else. I tried a lot of things, and I bet you most people here have tried a lot of other things. But it always comes back to Him in my life. It always comes back to Him and spending time with Him, because that's where I get recharged. Then he says further on down in verse 2, "Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." Listen carefully to me. And we can say the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is leading and the Holy Spirit is guiding. Because spiritual health leads to physical health. Because when I was depressed, anxious for everything, I was dying. Depression is death. It's just death. Because nothing in life is good, nothing in life satisfies, and it shows on your body. Have you ever known, I've known a woman like this who was just constantly negative. Constantly negative. Nothing positive ever came out of this woman's mouth, and I felt so bad. Because you could just see it on her. I worked with her. And it was difficult to work with her. You would want to have just a nice conversation and negative, 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 negative. That wears on your body. That wears on your mind. That's why I'm continually praying for a renewed mind and a renewed body, because I have a vision now. And I don't want it to fail until I complete it. I don't want my past mistakes to get in the way of what God has revealed to me. Because what He has revealed to me is so, so good. It's worth it. It's worth going after. It's worth striving for. And it has come with seeking Him. And I can say the little that I've gotten, because there's so much more, has come from seeking Him, from seeking this spiritual health. Listening and consuming His word leads to abundance. And what's abundance? So we have need, and then we have abundance. All of our needs are met. I don't know that anyone here doesn't have the basic needs of life. And if you don't have it, let us know and we'll help you. Simple as that. Needs. He meets our needs, but then there's also abundance. There's abundance, and my definition of abundance is, I believe abundance is my needs being met. And I think first and foremost, spiritually. And then being able to help meet the needs of others. So, and why I say spiritual health first and foremost is because I can give you things. And those things will last momentarily. I can give you a car, but that car has an expiration date. Correct?
Yes.
But if I'm able to lead you to Christ, if I'm able to be a witness to you through that car, it's not just a thing. It's a seed that I'm planting in your life because I want that opportunity to share Christ with you. Then it means a lot more. Then we're talking eternal and not just temporal. Clothes, yes, everybody needs clothes. But when I have an abundance to give to others, my goal is to be an example to them through that giving, an example to them that says, why are you different? Why are you able to do this? Opening doors for me to share the love of Christ to you, to share what he's done in my life, to share the goodness of God. That's what this is about. That's what we're here for. To turn people to Christ. Not to have a bunch of cool things. We're here to turn people to Christ, to pull them from hell and give them eternity and of life. That's what we're here for. Yeah. And that relationship, this spiritual health, this spiritual relationship gives me the drive to do that because I did not have the drive to do that without Christ. I was even a Christian and I didn't have the drive to do that because I was selfish. It was all about me. It was all about fixing myself and yeah, I needed to fix myself. I did, but it was never going to be me fixing me. It was Christ. It was relationship that fixed me. It was relationship that brought me to a point where I could listen and hear and start acting out what it was I'm supposed to be doing here. And it's never too late. Doesn't matter how young, doesn't matter how old. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to download this vision that just gets you fired up. That brings meaning and purpose to this life. How many people do you know are searching for meaning and purpose? Watch the news. Or don't watch the news. But if you were to happen to watch the news, you would see there's a lot of people searching for meaning, hope, purpose. Look at the confusion that's out there. Look at the confusion. We can't tell a boy from a girl anymore. I'm sorry, that's wrong. I'm sorry, that's a lie. Male and female, he made them. That's all I need to know. That's all we need. There's a difference. I don't care what you say. And is it amazing how science changes to fit particular needs? I'm not trying to go down this route, but I'm going down a little bit here. And now we're the science deniers. I'm denying science because I can tell the difference between a boy and a girl. Man, it's amazing. The lies and the agendas that are out there, all the more reason for spiritual health. Because how much time are we spending on the lies compared to the truth? I get caught in it. I can get fired up. I can look at what's going on in the world and get really ticked off. I have an opinion. I absolutely have an opinion. And I need to get it to a place where I can share it without swearing and things of that nature. Because I was a Marine. And when I get fired up, that's why I got to get to that place first. I'm not there yet, so I can't share everything. But look at what's going. Just different. Some of you in here would understand, I think, but not all. So, but an abundance can look very different in this life, correct? Abundance in a little village in the middle of nowhere is much different than abundance of somebody who's uber wealthy, can afford anything they want, can do anything they want, but it's still abundance. It's still wealth. Having your needs met and be able to give more is abundance no matter the situation. And that's what is offered to us here, but it starts with spiritual abundance. It starts with my mind being transformed to his ways and not my ways. Because if he were to pour everything he's pouring on me now before, man, watch me waste some money. Watch me waste some opportunities. Because I wasn't ready for it. We have to be honest with ourselves. I have to have these conversations with myself. I want to get here, but I need to take a few steps before I get there. And that's okay, because he's going to help us along the way. But do I trust his word? Do I believe that when he speaks, it's for the best? Or do I believe that, I think if I did it this way, it'd be a little better? How arrogant. How arrogant can I be? Nope, God, I really think I got this one. And then I fall, and then I apologize, and we're back to square one, and I haven't moved anywhere. I'm still sitting in the same spot where, if I had listened, if I had trusted my relationship, if I had trusted what was being spoken, who knows where I'd be right now. But thank God I'm here and not way back where I was. Can't dwell on the past. Past will just drag you down. We can learn from the past, absolutely, but don't dwell on it. So I like Paul. He's a good example for this. Paul, man, did that guy go through it? He went through it. Beaten on multiple occasions, scourged. I just wonder what this guy's body looked like. The scars all over him, the stories that he has that weren't included in the Bible. He's going to be an interesting guy to talk to someday. But you can see the difference in Paul. You can see the spiritual health that was in Paul. Because regardless of the situation, there was joy. Philippians. I love Philippians. Because 16 times in four chapters, I think they said it's 104 verses, 16 times joy is mentioned. Rejoicing is mentioned, and he wrote it in prison. Because even in prison, his physical needs were being met. Maybe not to the standard that I want or that he wanted, but he was relying on that spiritual health, that spiritual food to get them through these situations. So his abundance looked very different than abundance today, but look what he did. Look what was accomplished through him. 2/3 of the New Testament, thereabouts. And it had nothing to do with things. Had nothing to do with things. I'm going to keep saying it. Things aren't bad, but what are they doing to you? Are they pulling us away from that spiritual health? Paul and Silas in the prison. I guarantee they got beat up before they got shackled. I guarantee they weren't feeling very good. I guarantee the opportunity was there to mope and complain. But they rejoiced. They praised God, regardless of what was going on around them. Because it's not about, I hate to say it, it's not about our comfort. Our comfort is expendable. When it really comes down to it, what are we willing to sacrifice? This is not a doom and gloom. Because what we sacrifice is is so much greater in the grand scheme of things. Because our life doesn't end here. We go on into eternity. I'm looking for the crowns, man. I'm looking for the rewards. Because he promises he'll give them to those who serve him. I'm looking for, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I would take, you made it. I would take that. But that's not it. We can have more. We can experience more in this life. And it comes through this spiritual health, because this spiritual health brings confidence in Christ. Brings confidence in what he has planned for us. Brings confidence in who he is, so I can trust him. I can take him at his word. We all have people in our lives where we tell them something, they say they're going to do it. Yep, I know he's going to do it. And then there's others. You tell them something, you know you're going to tell them again. There's not a whole lot of confidence there. I'd like to think I'm most of the time the guy that you tell me something, I'm going to do it. I have my days. But, you know, he put his spiritual health over physical needs. But I do believe his needs were met. He didn't die until he needed to die, I believe, right? It may not have been a glamorous life, but I guarantee right now up in heaven, things are pretty good for him. Pretty darn good for him. And that's amazing. But I like what he says in 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27, it says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." The flesh wants to get in the way. It just, man, that's just the nature of the flesh. And if we're dominated by the flesh, we're going to choke out our spiritual growth. Ick. And I've seen it happen in my own life. I've been on the roller coaster of, well, I won't say that, but I've been on that roller coaster where I trust the flesh for some reason more than I trust Christ, more than I trust what he's done for me. But when we're seeking spiritual things, when we're seeking this spiritual health, the flesh has a much easier time coming into alignment. And yep, you got to beat it back into submission every now and again. But over time, through growth, it's much easier to bring yourself back into alignment. It's much easier for me to fight depression now than it was a few years ago. Because I've grown, I have more in me. I know who he is, and I know what he has done for me and in me, and I can fight. I fight. So abundance in Jesus. You know, Jesus and the 5,000. He met everybody's need. They were hungry. So he met the need. And then there was abundance. 12 baskets, is that what it was? 12 baskets full? That's abundance. That's abundance. You know, there's varying levels here. William Wernbrand, Tortured for Christ, gentlemen. Amazing book. But he was in Poland during communist Russia occupation. And he was thrown in prison for his beliefs. And this man was tortured, beaten, saw horrific things, had horrific things done to him. And he said there were times where you weren't able to quote scripture anymore because your mind was just so beaten down, but he was still able to say the word Jesus. He was still able to say Jesus. And that's what he needed then. He had what he needed in that circumstance. He had Jesus. And regardless of how they were beaten, they still spoke Christ to the guards. They still spoke Christ to the inmates. Varying levels here. Can we put ourselves in these guys' shoes? Can I? Where are we? Where are we? Because that's a whole nother level of just regardless of what happens to me, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not turning your back. He didn't turn his back because things got hard. It would have been really easy for him to deny Christ. Really easy. His life would have been much easier. The Russians would have treated him just fine. They would have left him alone. Because they did that to all the other pastors that turned themselves over to the communist regime. But this meant something more than comfort. This meant something more than things. Jesus was had a totally different meaning to him than these other pastors. But we can get there. I want to get there. Where nothing else matters. Nothing else will satisfy but Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read these next verses real quick. Romans. Because we need to get this picture of who he is. How good he is. He's provided for us. He's provided our needs, and he will provide abundance. So Romans 8. Chapter 8. Verse 13. So it says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live. And I believe in this life and the next. Heeding ourselves to the Holy Spirit is the most positive thing we can do in this life. It just is. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We are his. When you accept Jesus Christ, you are his, and you get everything that comes along with it. Everything that comes along with it. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do not let the devil take that away from you. You're not his. He doesn't love you. Baloney. He died for you. This verse is for you. The Spirit himself bears witness within our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we indeed we suffer with him. That we may also be glorified together. He has everything you need for any situation, even in suffering. Even in suffering. Do we believe it? Do we believe that even in the suffering, he is enough? Even in the suffering, he's meeting my needs and providing for me. And I have to wrap my head around it just as much as anybody else. But man, do I want to get there. That no matter what, it's Christ. It's Christ. Our strength comes from this spiritual relationship. Our strength comes with growing with the Holy Spirit, letting him lead, letting him guide. And when we open ourselves up spiritually, it opens the door for blessing and provision. True blessing and true provision come from the Father because we are heirs. We've been adopted into this. It's not us trying to earn anything. You're not trying to earn anything. It's there for the taking. It's there for us. It was paid for us on the cross. We don't have to question whether or not he loves us. We don't have to question whether or not he will provide for us. We don't have to question if our needs are going to be met. And if we can get past all of that, imagine where we can go. You know what? He's telling me to go there. It looks impossible, but he's going to meet my needs. And over there is where the blessing is, so I'm going. And I don't know what that looks like to everybody. I don't. But if he's telling you to go, go. If he's telling you to do something, do it, because that's where the blessing is. And then we're just going to end quick with back in Isaiah. Isaiah 55 again, down to verse 3. It says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Life is in him. Provision is in him. Grab a hold of this and trust it. Grab a hold of it." So incline. Incline means to turn. Turn your ear. Stop letting everything else take your focus. All the distractions take your focus from true life, from true help. The definition of turn is a tendency to do something. I want my tendency to go to Christ. Not to researching a bunch of useless things, but I want my tendency to be, you know what? What does the word say? That's what I want my tendency to be, is to turn away from that other stuff. Now, I'm not here to condemn. Stuff is fine as long as it's not consuming you, right? Because there are people that are required to have stuff so they can give it away, so they can bless others, so they can... I'm not there yet. I'm further along than I was. I can bless people a lot more now than I was able to before. But we need to bring our attention back to him. If we're truly seeking the vision for this valley, if we're truly seeking vision in our life, our attention has to be for him. It has to be on him. And no, you don't have to do it. Nothing is a have to. He still loves you. But you're not going to experience goodness, true goodness. You're not going to experience provision like you should be experiencing. You're not going to be experiencing relationship, a relationship that supersedes any relationship. Are you desiring relationship? If anybody here is desiring relationship, find it in Jesus Christ. Because it will satisfy. Amen? Trust his word. Trust what he says is going to lead you to the best outcome. Trust it, because that's how we move forward. That's how we move forward in this, amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are good, that you are so good. You love us so much. Your mercy, your grace, your love, your goodness is never ending. And Father, even when we've missed it, you want to pick us up and move us along. Father, I just come against any condemnation that's trying to come on anybody here, and I say you must go. You will not hold these people back from experiencing the true relationship with the Father, true purpose and plan, true drive. You will not hold these people back. Father, and I thank you as we go out through this week that you're going to bring people across our paths that we can share your goodness, we can share your love with. And I thank you that you're ministering to each and every one of us as we go out through this week. You love us and you care for us. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.